My name is Justin Hoppe. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I work with our outreach and discipleship ministries here, and occasionally have the opportunity to open the word publicly from the pulpit. So good to be here with you this evening. So it is a couple days before Thanksgiving, so we're probably going to talk about Thanksgiving. I hope you came thinking that that might be the case. I didn't want to disappoint you, so we're going to talk about being thankful. Before we get into the passage that we're going to look at, I wanted to just give you, just to bring our thoughts closer to this. So if you were to walk into my office upstairs, up the stairs there and the one in the middle up there, if you were to walk into my office, if you walked in and to the left, you would see hanging from my ceiling two airplanes. Those airplanes are very, very special to me. One of them was a plane, it's a balsa wood frame thing that you put together. My grandfather, my mom's dad, or my dad's dad, bought this airplane kit when I was in sixth grade. And we were up there for Christmas, and he said, "Justin, I would like to build this with you." Now, if you've ever built one of those, that's not a weekend project. Not really. Not unless you're going to spend the entire weekend just doing that project. And because there was Christmas events happening and all that stuff, we just had a little bit of time here and there that weekend to set it up. And then every time we'd go visit, we would spend an hour or two here or there cutting the balsa wood pieces out and laying them out on the schematic that they have, and you glue all the little pieces, all the hundreds and hundreds of little things. So that airplane, we got to a point where I was graduating high school, and we weren't quite anywhere close to being finished. And my graduation present that year from my grandfather was that box. And he said, you need to take this, now that you've graduated high school, take this, and wherever you go, just kind of put this together, and that'll be our little project, because we're never going to get it through if we do that. So I took a couple weekends, and I put it together. So that one's hanging in my office. It's a Spitfire Supermarine, a World War II fighter plane, really cool, sleek lines. But I never painted it because I just felt like it. I didn't take the time to paint it. Let's be honest. The other airplane that's hanging there is a P-52 World War II American. The other one's a British one. This is an American muscle fighter plane. Mustang. Yep, I was searching for the name. So P-52 Mustang. Beautiful thing. That one, my mom's dad had quadruple bypass heart surgery. And if you've met my mom's dad, he is the guy who's always doing something. And when he was in recovery, he was not allowed to do things. He couldn't go out in the woods and set his traps for the beaver and things like that. He couldn't go welding things together. So someone suggested a model airplane kit. So he, while he was not able to be out and about, spent time building that. And then I was up there for Christmas or Thanksgiving a few months after. And he said, "Justin, how about you finish this, because I know that you did this with your other grandfather." So I've got two airplanes that are hanging in my office that remind me of my grandfather's, and it's just really important. And so if you came to my office, you might hear me tell the story of those airplanes, especially if you looked up and were curious about why there are two World War II model airplanes hanging from my ceiling. You also might see this. This is a moose antler that I was able to find in the woods in Canada. I was backpacking with some friends, and we were up there backpacking and canoeing and moving all around, and it was this really, really cold, windy day, and I was walking by myself, just kind of wandering, because my grandfather taught me how to wander through the woods without getting lost, which is actually harder than it sounds. At least it's harder than it sounds to me, because I've learned how to do it. But anyways, I was walking, and this sharp wind blew, and I stopped to flip my collar up, and I kind of readjusted. And then as I looked up, I just saw this white thing sticking through the leaves about 50 yards in front of me. And I was, that just isn't right. So I walked over to it, and I found it there. It was a moose shed. He dropped his antlers, and if you got up close to it, you can see places where the mice have bitten little pieces off here, and he had obviously broken part of it here. But these are things that are exciting, things that we care about, that I care about. And so I've got them in my office so that I can have conversations with people, so I can tell the story of finding a moose antler in the middle of Canada and then carrying it on my back for 3 days, which was less exciting than finding it. It's part of the story, right? You tell that because it's part of the story. And then getting through customs back in the United States without a tag on it because they may be worried that I had poached it. But I left all the moss and stuff on it because I didn't want them to think that I had killed a living animal and just packed it in there. So it also, again, adds to the, it's mossy still. But the point of all that is that when we have an experience that we enjoy, something that means something to us, we talk about it. When we're thankful for things, for experiences, for people, we talk about those things. We could spend the rest of the night, I'm sure, giving each one of you a few minutes to talk about your grandchildren, right? Not your children. Your children, that's okay. But your grandchildren, you guys could talk about for a long time because those are things that you're very thankful for. And so when we're coming to our passage tonight, we're going to look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138, this is one of David's psalms, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And in this, he gives us a model for how we should approach thanksgiving as it relates to our relationship with God, and then just as we kind of move through life. And so as we are heading into this Thanksgiving week, I hope to give you some framework to approach each one of the little things that you've got going on this week, and hopefully make it just a more impactful weekend than maybe it can sometimes be. Because if we're honest, if I'm honest, I'll say it that way. If I'm honest, there are some times where I go through a holiday week like this, and I get to the end of it, and I go, man, I'm really tired and still full, but I don't necessarily feel thankful because I wasn't intentional enough. And so we're going to try and see if we can avoid that. So starting in verse 1 of Psalm 138, this is the Psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called you, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord. For they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against me, against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promise for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Let's pray. Dear God, as we approach your word this evening, I pray that your spirit would speak to us from these pages. Stir our hearts with love for your son and make us thankful this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, we see there's three kind of groupings in the passage. The first few verses talk a little bit about David and his praise or his thankfulness specifically. And in the middle section, you see where David talks about the kings of the earth and being thankful and how they will be thankful. And then the last section, there's some about deliverance and this looking forward to God being God working in his life and in the lives of others. So when we look at the first section, that individual section, we know that David had a hard life. From early on, even as before he was anointed to be the future king of Israel, he was the shepherd boy, the youngest, the one out in the woods in the fields when his brothers were all being lined up and looked at by Samuel. He killed lions and bears and If you were here this morning, you heard Pastor wax eloquently about how wonderful it would be to be around a shepherd. Stinky sheep means stinky shepherds, right? So when you think of David and you think of him writing a psalm, we don't know why he wrote this one in particular. There's no clues in the text. There's no historical tradition for when in his life he would have been looking at this text or writing this text. Sometimes you see a little note at the beginning of a passage where it says, this was David when he was hiding in the caves and when Saul was chasing him. We don't get that. So this is just general. But David was thankful that God had done things for him. But there's a couple things that are specific that we can see through this passage about how David was thankful, how he gave thanks. It says down in verse 1, it says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. He was wholeheartedly thankful to God for God working in his life. It wasn't just, I'm grateful for this, God. It was, he says, with my whole heart, I give thanks. He's not holding anything back. There's not a twinge of bitterness over all of the pain and hardship he'd been through. He was wholeheartedly thankful for what God did. It talks in the next verse, in verse 2, where he bows down towards the holy temple. I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love. Some scholars think that this passage, he's talking about going the holy temple. It's not some mystical thing. This is going to the temple or praying towards the temple. Daniel did that when he was in Babylon. When he was away from the temple, he would bow towards the east where the temple would have been. But in this, it's a temple. So he's publicly praising God for his thankfulness. If he was in Jerusalem, if he was at the temple, he would have gone physically to the temple to worship God there. And they would have gone and they would have the tabernacle, I'm sorry. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. The tabernacle, not the temple, because Solomon built the temple. I saw Betsy. What is it? That's not right. He would have gone to worship, and he would have gone, and it would have been could have been a public display of his thankfulness towards God. It wasn't private. I think sometimes we can be thankful for things and just kind of hold it in, right? You know, we like to, well, I'll just keep that for myself. I don't need to share that with other people. And sometimes it may be out of a sense of we want to be humble. We don't want to feel that we're bragging that God has blessed us in some ways. But David publicly thanked God for his work in his life. But what he did, David wasn't just generally thankful towards God. He wasn't just generally happy that God had done these things and didn't just praise God because he was God. He was specific. And we see that in this worship. The holy temple is referenced there. Also, we see this sense of, some scholars say that he may have been bringing a thanksgiving sacrifice in this. This may be a hint of saying, well, he's taking a sacrifice to where the priest would sacrifice it, and he would have that praise and worship through that. So sometimes our worship is sacrificial. We can be thankful to God in being sacrificial in those ways. He also says that he praised God for his steadfast love. That's a Hebrew word, hesed. It's this theme that kind of runs through the Old Testament that is just, it is such a cool word. Such a cool phrase. It's that never-ending, undying, never-giving-up, faithful, steadfast love. David had messed up a couple times in his life, right? A couple really, really big public things, but God continued to be faithful to David and to love him and protect him and to keep his kingdom there and work in David's life. So he specifically praised God through worship. He specifically praised God through this about this steadfast love, this never-ending love and faithfulness. And then he talks about, in verse 3, on the day that I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. David reflects on those times when God had given him the strength he needed, whether it was in the field with the lion or the bear, whether it was in the cave when Saul was chasing him. or it was one of the other countless times that God worked through David's life and gave him rest and gave him strength when he needed it. So David calls out to God and he remembers the rescue that God had given him. So we see as David's reflecting in these first three verses that giving thanks, he was public about it, he was wholehearted, and then he was specific about it. And then verses 4, 5, and 6 kind of make up that middle section. And in this, we can say that maybe David's looking ahead, maybe prophetically, because there's some words in here that don't completely make sense. I mean, if this is actually happening in David's day, I think the world would look different, right? All the kings of the earth will give thanks, O Lord. That wasn't happening, right? That wasn't happening in the world then. It's not happening in the world now. But David also knew that one day, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ was Lord. He knew that God would do this, so that one day all kings and all peoples will give thanks. So maybe it was a prayer for David's days. Maybe he was hopeful that the kingdoms around would see God's glory, because he gets specific about that too in the next couple of verses. He says, they have heard the words of your mouth. God's word goes out and it doesn't return void. His words go out. The kings of the earth shall give praise because they've heard God's word, when that happens eventually. Or maybe he was praying that God's word would go to these other kings and they would have a chance to repent and become followers of God. In verse 5, David goes on and he says that they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. We know that when Israel was going into the promised land that they were supposed to live a certain way and act a certain way, and it wasn't just arbitrary. It was so that the kingdoms of the earth that were around them would see and know that Israel's God was the one true God, that they would worship because of the way that Israel was different. The ways of God. We know that when they were coming through into the promised land, when the Red Sea parted and the Jordan parted and Jericho fell, and I mean, you just go through any one of those passages from the Old Testament where Israel is moving through, those are all signs, ways that God was saying, I'm the real one. None of the other ones, I'm the real one. So the kings of the earth would praise God because of the ways of the Lord. David reflects on that. And then there in verse 6, the one piece in this passage, the one piece about our faith that makes it so very, very, very different than all the other religions that are out there in the world, is that our God came to us. He condescended to us. He came down. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. The King of the universe regards the lowly, the shepherd boy. And David reflects on this. Maybe it's prophetic. Maybe he was looking forward to the day at the end when all these things would be true. But either way, he was praying and he was praising God that this would happen. And then the last couple verses there, verse 7 and 8, David gives us an example of praising God through deliverance. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the enemy, the wrath of my enemies. Your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promise for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. So we see that the Lord fulfills his steadfast love and purpose in the life of David. David's talking about all those valleys of the shadow of death, right? All those times where there's no reason for him to get out of this alive. And God was faithful, and David praises God for that. All those times when it would have been easier to do something different, but David just chose to be faithful to God, and God did not forsake the work of his hands. God told David he would establish his throne forever, and he didn't take it from him. We see also that God protected David and defended him against his enemies. That's a man that had enemies. I mean, political enemies and family enemies after his sons went crazy towards the end. And I mean, that's a man with enemies. And God protected him against the wrath of his enemies. And then we see also that his, again, the steadfast love endures forever, that hesed love, that never ending, never giving up, never failing, always faithful. That love that endures. And so when we're thinking about David and this model that he's given us, that we can look back at these things that God has done for us and things that he will do for us and ways that he's worked through our lives. Just, I want to reflect on a couple of these things and help you, like I said before, give a framework maybe to walk through these times. So when we think about David's individual aspect, the first couple of verses, and we said that he was public about his praise for God. We live in a world that will fill stadiums and act a fool on national television, be captured for all internet viewing time, people doing really, really stupid things, all looking like they're really happy about something, praising and worshiping these athletes or musicians or whatever you want. We're not afraid to publicly praise that. But we need to remember that we shouldn't be afraid to publicly praise our God in a world that wants to look at you really weird when you say something. You believe in God? Yeah, I do. I do. I praise him for this and I praise him for that. Publicly praise God for what he's done in your life. The next 5 or 6 weeks that we have is this gift-wrapped thing that God has continued to preserve in this culture of ours, which is so hostile towards anything that smells of God. We've got a holiday this Thursday about being thankful, which really, truly is like the counter opposite of what our culture wants to really embrace, right? In a culture where you deserve this, you deserve that car, you deserve that watch, you deserve this phone, you deserve whatever, because that's what you do. You deserve this. I don't know that I've ever been thankful for something that I believed I deserved. I can remember thinking of times when I didn't get what I thought I deserved that revealed the opposite of thankful. But I also can't think of a single time where I thought I deserved something and I got it and I was actually thankful for it. Because oftentimes that's like I did this, so I deserve this, so it's mine. I might be generally thankful for the fact that I got what I was supposed to, but not truly thankful. But as you think about this, think about this time. Be public about your thanksgiving that you have towards what God has done for you. Publicly thankful. You're going to have family around this week. You're going to have family around and visitors and cousins and uncles and neighbors and people that you're going to interact with over the next 5 or 6 weeks where you will have a chance to be publicly thankful for what God has done for you. But also worship through that thanksgiving. Take the time to not just say that I'm thankful that God did this, but pause. Reflect on what that goodness means. Whatever that thing that it was that he gives you. Reflect on the theology behind why you should be thankful for that. I try to do this with my kids when they talk about things being unfair. Especially if it's not fair that my brother got punished a different way than I did and we did the same thing. And well, it's obviously not the same thing, but when we start to think about fairness and we start to think about things in this without bringing the theology to bear, we can end up really missing the point. So if God has given me something, part of why I should be thankful for it is that I deserve nothing. Or I deserve death and separation from God, and any moment that I'm alive is a gift from God. And if I worship God through that, then I can worship God through anything. I can join Paul in a prison cell and thank God for even those chains, because those chains give him an opportunity to share the gospel. Be thankful in worship. And be wholehearted. Be wholehearted. So I'm sure you've heard the example before, the Penn and Teller, the magician guys that do their thing. One of them is a flat out atheist. But he tells you, he in an interview where someone was talking about Christianity and why he's so hostile towards Christianity, and how he responds when someone tries to share the gospel with him. And he says, you know what, I actually let someone share it with me, because it shows me that they care about me. Because really, if you believe that you've got the answer to save someone from hell and you're not going to share with them that, how much do you hate that person? And I was like, whoa. I mean, so there's that element of, if this is really true, if we really believe this, if we're really, really, truly grateful for what God has done in our lives, we need to be wholehearted in our thanksgiving and public about it and share that with people. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world with the kings and the princes. Obviously, they're not kings and princes in America. But the people who lead our country, there's a lot of things going on, and there's not a whole lot of praising God going on anywhere among the leadership. And so we can join David, and we can, as we're heading through to this season, we can pray hopefully, pray prophetically, not saying that we're prophesying, I'm saying that we're praying that God would fulfill what he has said he would fulfill, but pray that God would use his word, his ways, the things that he changes people with, that he will do that to those kings and those princes, to the leadership of our country, that God would be praised on Capitol Hill and in the White House and in the courthouses and everywhere that our leaders are. We can look to that and pray that that would happen, but also we can look towards the fact that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess. We can look towards that day. So we praise him for that, even though it hasn't happened yet, which I think is what David's doing here. Praise him for what he will do, because we know that if he says he will do it, he will do it. So when we're thinking about that, we think about also how that deliverance that God has given for each one of us. We've all walked through various forms of the valley of the shadow of death. Whether you've walked personally through that and been right at the edge, or it's a family member or a friend. But those of us who are in this room have walked through the valley. And the only reason we walked through the valley is that God was faithful and allowed that to happen. That's what he wanted. And so we praise him for his deliverance through those things. Anybody ever had a hard relationship with somebody you saw God work in that person's life over time? You can praise God that he worked in the life of someone else, or in your life through someone else. Sometimes that works both ways, that God brings a person into our lives to shape us, not to shape them. But those rough edges that we get, that God has to smooth out for us to be more in the image of Christ. We can praise God for those things. So this week, as you head into this Thanksgiving season, be thankful. I know that on our house, we'll have several times where there's a chance to do the cliche, okay, everybody go around the table and say something you're thankful for. And a lot of times, I've got family that we're going to see this weekend who they're not believers. And so it's all about stuff. I'm thankful for the turkey or the ham. Or I'm thankful for the sweet potatoes, which have more sugar than the pie we're going to eat later. After you put the marshmallow stuff in them and all that. Which is the only way to eat sweet potatoes, if you ask me. But we want to be thankful for those things. Yes, God gives us provisions. He gives us good things. We're thankful for what he's done. And so we want to pause this week and be thankful. But take this opportunity to take it one step further than just the surface stuff. Be thankful for the pie. But take a moment and share with that loved one. Or if you've got the tradition where you bring in somebody outside your family to share at your table. Or maybe you could start that tradition and bring someone to your table for the whole purpose of praising God publicly and wholeheartedly in front of them for what God has done in your life. But more than anything else, as you're going through this time, pause to think about the theology behind why we're thankful. Think about how what it all boils down to is that God, our God, came to earth. Though he was mighty and great, he came to the lowly. And he came in the form of a baby. He came setting aside his glory, like we talked about last week on Sunday morning. He came so that we could have all these good things. He came so that with David we can look towards the day that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He came so we can think about the passing of a dear friend in Roger Brandt, who the moment he let go here, he was whole and strong and probably quoting scripture to Peter. Because our God came down. That's not just Christmas. That's not just the story for Christmas. That's the story for every single day. And that is why we can even have a category for Thanksgiving. Because we can be thankful that our God has not left us on our own. He has come down. So we talk. We started this evening, we started talking about the antlers and the airplanes. And I said one little line, and I'm going to close with that line. We talk about the things we're really thankful for. So make sure this Thanksgiving season that you talk about the things that you're really, really thankful for. Let's pray.